It is Thursday, the 23rd of June, and this is episode 89 of Digital Outbox. Hello, I am Chris. I'm your host for today, and I am joined I'm joined by Ian.
You did say you're struggling to talk, and you've proven it straight away.
I haven't even had beer this week. I've had feedback that I did sound a little bit drunk towards the end of last podcast, yeah. And I think I felt it, so I'm on the water tonight.
I thought you were a bit punch drunk after all that Apple fanboyism.
It probably was. I felt a little bit out of my depth, I think. I felt myself getting swept up in the whole.
You were quite excited.
Magical nature of it.
Because you did start to question like Android and like it's very compelling.
Yes,
I'm sure it was your word.
Quite compelling.
And then by the next day it was like, what a crock.
Yeah. some breaking news. Ian is upset with his printer, and I have washed my Fitbit for the second time, and I'm pretty sure I might have killed it now.
So generally printing hacks me off because I don't do it very often. But see, when I want to do it, I want to do it. And invariably, I've run out of ink.
Apple do a printer? I don't think they do they?
But the thing that's annoying me tonight is I've run out of some colours. I just want some text printed. And the little won't let me print in black and white. I can't get it. Oh, honestly, I'm making fists with my
toes. I shouldn't have reignited that fire.
I'm making fists with my toes. It's really hacked me off.
It wouldn't turn off quick enough either, would it? Anyway, let's move away from the printer.
I can't. It's like it's staring at me.
It's blinking its little light.
It's stopped blinking because I've pulled a power.
So my Fitbit is now sat on the windowsill trying to evaporate any particular, any water, and hopefully it'll come to life. I'll update everyone next week. Surely it can't survive.
That's such a shame.
It's such a stupid, foolish thing to do. Never mind. So let's get on with some news today. We'll start off with some Apple, but there's a sort of trend for the news today, I think, which is pretty depressing. But anyway, we'll start with Apple and some good news that they have decided to loosen their stringent rules on being able to sell subscriptions in-app.
Yes, sorry, I was just watching a dog owner letting his dog crap right outside my gate and thinking, I will go down there and punch something out of you.
Did he pick it up?
He's doing so. I really should calm down and just let these things happen. Apple loosens grip on subscription terms. So
I think they had to, didn't they? They've pretty much, so just recapping then, they said that you couldn't, if you were going to offer subscriptions outside of the app, you also had to sell them inside the app, and they had to be the same price in app, even though Apple were going to take 20% of the charge.
30%.
Is it 30%? Okay, 30% of the charge. But they have, as you say, blinked.
They have. They've taken away the kind of matching the price. So yes, you still. I think they're still saying you have to offer the equivalent, market, but you don't have to have the same price. So if you want to offer £4 in the App Store and it's £2 on your website, crack on.
I think, didn't I say that at the time? I have no issue with that at all.
No.
The only issue I had with the whole policy was the fact that they were forcing prices outside of the app.
Yeah.
So it seems like they've come to the sensible decision.
And I just wonder if it's because people like, Amazon and all the other big players just said, that's too far.
Yeah, but Apple won the market. They've got to, they've got to bend somewhere. They did. Good.
Yes.
Right. So another update on a story. This is Lodsys suing some Apple developers, I guess, developers for the Apple platform.
Well, they're suing both Apple and Android developers.
It's Android as well, is it?
Okay. Oh, yeah, they're chasing after. When Apple had, they put back their initial kind of feedback, which says, sod off, we're already covered, stop chasing our people. The next day, I think they issued out 10, 12 patent claims to Android developers.
So basically, this is a patent claim, and the owner of that patent is going after the developers rather than the platform that the developers are working for, even though the system is inside of the platform. Is that right?
Yes. And the interesting thing with the Apple one is that Apple do have a license for it. I think on the Android one, I don't think Google has anything. So they're a bit, I think they're a bit more open to a potential.
They're probably on their own.
Yes. But what Apple have now done is they now want to, they've filed a motion to intervene in the proceedings. So basically they'll become a defendant.
Because one of the big bits of this story was that the patent owner is going after the small fry. They're not going after people with money because they want to get...
Well, they were going after small developers, but also some quite noticeable, sizable ones. So it was still going to be a fair chunk of money. I mean, they were talking about how it's only 0.04% or 0.4% they wanted of people's money. But, you know, for some of the developers, that was still quite a lot of money.
Yeah, so Apple are inserting themselves in that claim or attempting to insert
And it's chuntering on. They certainly seem to be, and the expectation is if that is granted, then they will pick up the fight and developers won't have to pay. But I think in the background, developers are still mounting a, what do we do if this doesn't happen? What do we do if we're on our own?
Because the reason they're there's a case going forward in the first place is because this company believe they own something. So there may be a case to answer.
Basically, they're crooks, and the law is letting them be crooks.
We don't know that. Oh, let's wait and see who's being the crook, because it could be that Apple have been stealing. You never know.
No, well, Apple seemingly have this patent already licensed in iOS. But anyway, I'm not a lawyer.
We'll see what the extent of that license is then. Anyway, yes, we'll see. It's going to be interesting. Lawyers making more money. iTunes Cloud, we're not going to get it until 2012.
Allegedly not.
Quarter one.
Allegedly
we don't
not.
Know that for sure. It's just it's been strongly rumoured, and they've been we've had notes from the music industry that is the case, because talks have only just begun.
A spokesman for the Performing Rights Society, which ensures that composers, songwriters and music publishers are paid for their work, told The Telegraph that negotiations with Apple about ensuring rights in the UK had started but were at a very early stage.
And that basically from the, you know, when someone says it's at the early stages, it means they think it's going to go on and on.
Tentative talks have begun between the major labels. However, all talks are at the really early stage and no one expects to see the Cloud Music Service live on this side of the pond until 2012.
Okay, well, and I can kind of understand. We did say when they announced this that's a massive thing for record companies to say.
Absolutely.
You know, anything you rip, you can have for whatever it is. Was it $25? I can't remember what it was now.
It's I think it's 25 or 29
a year.
Yeah.
So and it was every year. So yeah, it was a big thing. And so I'm not surprised that it's sort of come a cropper this side, because it's more complicated, the whole label structure in this country.
Yeah.
And in fact in Europe.
I was going to say UK and Europe is just it just becomes a bit messy.
Yeah, very mired, and it's one of the reasons that it feels like you're walking through treacle. But I think there's another point in here that it looks like they're probably just holding on to see how it goes in America. Why wouldn't they? Basically.
And it might be both sides holding on to until they get it sorted. Yeah. I mean, you need to remember that all these data centers are in America.
You know,
issue rolling it out worldwide.
I think I raised it that, yeah, I mean, it's fantastic having this service, which is this massive, massive data center in America, but that doesn't necessarily work for us, you know, speed-wise.
Still, a bit of a shame. There certainly was quite a feedback from other bloggers.
From a consumer point of view, it's very frustrating, isn't it?
Yeah, well, there's a number of bloggers just saying things like, you know, music industry, I want to spend money, let me.
Yeah, and that's what it comes down to, isn't it? You know, I guess they've got to make their mind up that they're not losing more than they're gaining, kind of thing.
That was almost a Bucks Fizz reference. Well done.
Thank you. you've got some quickies here.
Oh, yeah. So Final Cut Pro X, Compressor 5, Motion 4. So if you're into your high-end video editing, they've all now been released by Apple on the Mac App Store this week. And quite controversial. Some of the kind of high-end professional users of Final Cut Pro 7, very disappointed with Pro X. They feel it's a step up of iMovie rather than a, you know, so it's more a kind of prosumer tool rather than the actual professional tool that they're used to with Pro 7, and it's a very different environment. So whether it's a steep learning curve, I think so many there are quite a lot of features that aren't there.
And you know, Apple are obviously moving everything towards more consumer rather than professional. I think it's that's what it feels like. They're going for the consumer market
in certain ways. And I don't know, but I mean, some people have made an analogy that it's like the first version of OS X. It was missing a lot of things, and the next version added those in. It's almost like they've got the basics and the groundworks there, but it's not an area I know very much about.
No,
like unlike the legal industry, which I know everything about clearly, and feel I can comment on every couple of weeks. But Final Cut Pro,
what about every week, you mean?
Yeah. Final Cut Pro, know nothing. And they've also launched a 3 terabyte time capsule, which is ridiculously priced. I think at £400.
And will probably fail after a month.
18 months.
Scurrilous.
No, it's 18 months.
Yeah,
18 months
when the warranty falls out, yeah?
No, 18 months is a known time capsule failure. If you just do a search for failure and time capsule, you'll get a whole... I'm going to do it anyway. Failure, time capsule. And, yeah, there's a whole lot of stuff from last year. It was all taught about 18 months.
There well, hopefully they've fixed some of that in this new version.
Nah.
Yet to be seen.
There you go. Time capsule failure to boot after 18 months. Class.
And I guess that's you know, the amount of data accessing it must do. I guess that's just how many read writes you can do.
Yep. There we go. And there's AirPort Extremes have been updated, but with no new features.
So it's just a wireless router, basically. Am I underselling it a bit? But that's
pretty much
what it is.
Yes. Yeah. And the only other Apple news I've got is I've got my new iMac. Whee!
Yeah, which I gather you're very happy with.
Oh, I'm sitting with a big grin on my face.
Yeah. I mean, I bet it looks good.
It looks great, and it's very, 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 very fast.
Yes, because you spent an enormous amount of money on a solid-state drive, but you think it's worth it.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Well, I need to say that now. I'd be kind of like shooting myself in the foot if I was like, nah, nobody else should buy it. Although saying that, I keep saying, I mean, I've got a Drobo, and I keep telling people I wouldn't go and buy a Drobo. So, but no, I feel with the SSD, I think it was, I'm trying to remember who said, somebody said to me, always get a machine with SSD, and they were right. I think from now on, I would make sure it's there.
It's probably one of the biggest step ups in performance you can get nowadays.
Yeah, so it would.
Optical drives are still, you know, well off the mark speed wise.
Yeah, and it helps. It's got a pretty good CPU and 16 gig of RAM as well.
I don't know any stats on how much more reliable a solid state drive is as well, because I mean, obviously, one of the big things. Say that again.
They're not.
They're not more reliable.
No, they're less reliable.
Really? Oh, crikey! I was expecting that there'd be more.
No, they're multiple reads and multiple read writes over time. There's quite a lot of increased failure. Hence, I have taken out an Apple Care on the iMac because I expect to use this for 4 or 5 years, like the last one.
Yes. So Apple Care extends it to is it over the 3?
That's to 3 years, and then you can I think you can then do something else if you feel it requires it. So and I think it was £120. I just thought that's fine.
Yes. Good plan, Batman.
That's fine.
That'll do, Pig. That'll do. Right.
What a great quote.
Google search updates. Google have been busy.
What about Nokia and
ever.
Apple?
Oh, have I missed something?
Yeah.
Oh, I have. Yeah, more the big one. Lawyer business.
Yeah, the one, our expert topic.
Yes.
So Nokia won.
Yeah, so Nokia and Apple, they were basically toing and froing on the old patents infringement litigation, weren't they? And it went backwards and forwards. It started with Nokia, then Apple countersued. And Apple have come back and paid them what was probably a lot of money, but we don't know how much.
Nobody knows, but Nokia said it was enough to make a difference to their balance sheet. So
well, I'm sure that'll be show up in their balance sheet then next time.
Yeah, there were some rumours of like between, you know, half and 1 billion payoff plus a licensing deal.
I was so going to say, because it's not just the payoff, is it? It's an ongoing license as well.
So it was like, you know, and it's a bit, remember we did the thing a few weeks ago that every Android phone has a $6 or $9 payment to Microsoft.
Yeah.
I think this is going to be much the same, that every time you buy an iPhone, Nokia is going to take, you know, what, $10, $5?
Yeah. So I wonder, there's a couple of things here we've had where Apple have just sort of been trying to tidy up loose legal ends. Do you think they're feeling a bit mired in all this litigation, just want to buy their way out of it?
I think so. They've got that much money there, and it's like, how much is a legal team costing compared to just saying sod it, have the money?
Yeah, those calculations must come in. You know, they must be thinking, we're sat on all this stupid cash. What can we do with it? Well, let's get rid of some of these restrictions on us now.
Yes,
but
the other thing you don't know, because there's a lot of talk that everybody is paying, you know, money to Nokia because of the patents they've got. But there are patents that Apple holds. So there was always a feeling that this was just more about how much you will actually pay you long term. You know, so Nokia might have been wanting $20, and Apple are saying, well, hold on, you'd have infringed it's actually $8.
Let's mitigate our numbers down.
And I'm sure that was more what happened. But at the end of the day, Nokia has won and they're getting payments.
Indeed. So yes, on to Google.
Yeah.
Who have been quietly sort of releasing web-based stuff, which never seems to get the same amount of, you know, press as when it's an app or a feature in an app. But basically, they've been enhancing their desktop search to include voice recognition.
Yes.
So like you can in the apps, you can now talk to your computer.
Still doesn't do Glaswegian very well.
Right. I've not tried it. So you've had a go, have you?
No, well, I'm just basing it on when I use it on the iPhone. It has got better, but it's still not perfect.
It doesn't feel natural to me. I don't do it. I don't know whether I'm missing out on something here, but it doesn't. Maybe, I mean, they're obviously trying to inject it everywhere to make it feel more natural, but at the moment, it doesn't feel right.
For me, the success rate's not good enough.
So yeah, so you don't get what you want straight away.
I'm still quicker, you know, pulling up a keyboard and typing in.
Yeah, and I think with the only time I've ever tried voice stuff was with navigation, trying to say my destination, and that was a waste of time as far as I'm concerned.
Computer.
Yeah. Xbox.
But Kinect works all right, doesn't it?
It's not too bad, but there's very limited things that, you know, that
Kinect.
That it could be. It's not like it's just trying to interpret you straight off from the whole human language. It's only trying to interpret a couple of clicks effectively.
I just feel with things like Kinect that I've just been disturbed by Shaq. Hold on while I tell him on podcast, and that thing he used to do,
that'll frighten him off.
Exactly. Yeah, that's him gone. The mere mention of the word is like, all I got was oh. Where was I? The only thing I find about things like Kinect, I just feel like I would be like shouting at it. I don't think I could just go Kinect, play. I'd be like Kinect. You know, I'd feel like I'd have to like dominate it.
And if it didn't answer straight away, you'd
a bit like the printer. I would actually, yeah. I'd probably just pull the plug and throw it out the window.
Voice based searching, but they're also going to do image-based searching like you can in apps. So whereas on a phone you might take a picture and say what is this, in this that you can now upload an image to on the desktop version, or you can give it a URL of an image and tell it to search, and it kind of tries to find similar images.
Yep, and I've got that enabled in mine. I don't know if you've got it on yours.
Yeah, I can see that happening on mine.
Yeah, no,
I did a search for Jeremy Clarkson. I just gave him a URL of a Jeremy Clarkson one. And in general, it returned a load of Jeremy Clarkson, but it also returned Stalin, which I thought was quite funny.
Well, it's funny for two reasons. One, because it's Jeremy Clarkson, and one, that's my old nickname from work. Don't ask.
We're building up a picture over time. The printer and Stalin.
They're not linked.
So yeah, it seemed to work. I also did a search for a picture of a MotoGP, and it seemed to return back some pretty sensible decisions. So
absolutely, also
clever stuff.
I took one of my one of my wallpapers, which I didn't have the original name for, and it actually brought back the right page for the original wallpaper.
There you go.
And I thought that is quite neat. And I think, obviously, when I put my face in, it just came back with all the ugly folk, none of them me. So, but
now, you know,
it won't know me.
they said that they didn't go down the face recognition type of things. But how is it finding therefore Jeremy Clarkson so often, you know?
But is that not just matching the image rather than saying, I recognise that it's Jeremy Clarkson, I will go and find other Jeremy
Clarksons?
There's
a fine line between, there's a fine line between matching an image.
Yeah, but face recognition would be detecting that that's a person, and hence I'm going to find them.
But it's probably got face algorithms in it for that reason. Yeah. Anyway, we'll see. I think Facebook have laid the trail of
I can see it happening, to be honest.
Yeah.
I just can't. I mean, somebody will do it. Bing will do it. Somebody will do it, and it'll all be there, and eventually everybody will do it.
Yes, and then everyone will do their own personal searches and go, oh my goodness. untag. and another update from Google. They are going to, they're calling it Google Instant, I think. But basically, when you do a search, they will automatically start downloading the top search results web pages in the background. So that if you happen to click them, then they will appear quicker, which is fine, and it will probably make for a good advert from them as far as saying how quick their browser is. But it does mean your browser's downloading stuff that you don't necessarily want it to download.
Absolutely. And it's also,
I don't know if there's been any sort of comment on that angle.
They're talking about that they will, they're saying that they already pre-render the top search results for you. So that I think a lot of this is going to depend on their search algorithms being really, really good. I mean, how many times do you search for something? It's always a top hit that comes back.
Quite, I mean, a fair amount of time. Not always, though, obviously.
Yeah.
But you know, effectively, it's the thing about internet and clicking on links is that, you know, you've got to take responsibility for what you're clicking on. But now the web browser's kind of taking that for you. And you know how people are duping the search results and stuff.
Mm.
They automatically get hit to their site from your computer based on your search. I don't know.
But it's all very clever. And I mean, anything to make it faster. I mean, Chrome is my browser of choice still. That's, on the new Mac.
It's an amazing browser, yeah.
Well, I've seen some people kind of like dissing it recently, and I still love it.
I still think it's the best one out there.
Yeah, I mean, Safari's... I bought a new Mac and Safari's actually fast now. But on the old one, it was an absolute dog. And Chrome wasn't. Chrome was lovely.
Well, Chrome and Safari come from the same stable anyway, don't they? So.
Yeah, but for whatever reason, Chrome's just architected better for me.
Yeah, I mean, they're all about speed and it's clever stuff. Anyway, there's been no talk about speed wars in browsers for ages, has there? That was a weekly thing at one point.
I'm just looking down. I can't remember if I slapped the Firefox 5 or 4. Was it 5? It was 5. I didn't put it in. I'm just looking down. But Firefox 5 came out this week as well.
All right, I'm using Firefox 4. I didn't realise there was a 5 version coming out.
Yeah, because Firefox 4 is only 3 months, but they've committed to starting to do, like, you know, new releases every 3 months.
Do the Google thing of increasing.
Yeah, okay, so 5's out, and some people have said it's actually a lot quicker again.
What? I like Firefox because I still like Firebug as a developer. It's still useful for
me. Yes, there's nothing, there's not an equivalent really.
Well, there are. I mean,
but not as, all, I've found not as good.
But I'm just used to using it. I think that's the problem.
Maybe.
It's more streamlined.
Yeah, I just find I get more information straight away out of Firebug than I do anything else.
Indeed. Okay, away from Google, we are having more domain names, basically. ICANN, so that's the organization that looks after domain names, the one that sort of went international rather than being controlled by America. Now they're kind of loosening their grip on the TLDs, the last bit of your domain name, so the .coms or the .orgs or the .nets of the world.
So we're going to have .Hutchison's and... Well, let's not have .9.
I wish I had that much money.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say we could have .dicks, but that would be wrong. For a whole other reason.
You know that we're going to have them anyway. basically, if you're willing to fill out a 360-page long application process, have got a spare $185,000 in your back pocket, you could have your own personal domain name.
Tell you what,
TLD.
I'll make a pledge. See when I win EuroMillions tomorrow night. We need to register some. Well, so I do. Oh, we could be dot digital or dot outbox. or whatever.
If you've got a free scope of what you want to have as a domain name, I don't think Digital Outbox comes high on the list of funny things to have.
Dot cock.
Exactly. So many more juvenile ways to spend that money.
I guess I think a whole lot of brands are going to jump all over this.
$185,000. How much is an advertising campaign?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, we're talking in those kind of regions. You're definitely going to see dot Googles.
Well, you're going to have dot Googles. We're giving, dot Apple. They gave an example of printers and having the different printer name at dot Canon. It's just going to open up a whole load of new domains.
Yeah, and it's kind of. I mean, there's no reason why the internet shouldn't have been like this in the first place. You know, anyone should be able to run a.
But do you think the structure? Do you think the structure has helped?
I think it has. I actually think having the limitations is actually better than what we're going to end up with now. It's going to be, you know, there's going to be no easy way of sort of figuring it out, because, you know, with Apple at the moment, it's, you know, it's either apple.com or apple.co.uk, and you pretty much know you're going to get it on one of those two.
And that's where I feel. I just think, is it going to be more confusing?
But I think as the number of registrations on domain names have gone up anyway, and it's, you know, the domains you can get hold of now are more and more limited, we're probably going to get to that situation of confusion anyway. So,
yeah. I still can't believe an application form is 360 pages long. Yeah,
how can it be? Surely it should be just, I want this, and I'm willing to pay. And here's my server that I'm going to, or the server systems that I'm going to run the domain name. Yeah,
exactly. I'm baffled. I might actually
maybe
go
it's 300 pages of how we're going to stop people hacking all that information. As
we're going to come on to hacking. So
it's not long now. Okay, we've had a consortium of mobile phones: Vodafone, O2, Orange, T-Mobile. Basically, getting together and working out how they're going to use this. Was it near field? I can't remember the name of the technology.
Just Wave and Pay.
Wave and Pay. So basically, it's the using the chips in your phones to actually pay for items, just by a bit like Oyster. So place them near a receiver, and you can pay for small items like sandwiches or drinks or whatever.
Yes. We did talk about this was it Google I/O, and they were talking about all that near field.
Because they've got it. I've got it in my phone.
Yeah, but I think
people have been saying that there's no infrastructure around to actually use it.
No, it wasn't Google I/O. It was one of the telcos that had teamed up with Barclays a few weeks ago. Can't remember. There was a story we did that one of them had teamed up, and we talked at the time. It's almost like catch-22, chicken and egg nonsense. It needs the devices, but the devices need the infrastructure, and it's both have to kind of come at once for it to be successful.
Well, it looks like they're both climaxing together.
Oh, apart from poor old Three. Kevin Russell, chief executive of Three, the UK's smallest operator, hit out at his larger rivals for leaving Three at the project. We would want and expect to be part at the heart of a cross-industry development list. And I'm more than a little concerned.
You're speaking in far too low a voice. You should be me, 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 me.
Well, I was hoping you were going to do that bit of the story. But yeah. But he's concerned that as a core competitor, we have not yet been invited to be part of this joint venture. The other three just said sod off.
Of course they did, because they're huge, and but the other three have pretty much come along and said, and also we are going to split the proceeds three ways. Thank you very much. Goodbye, Three. Mind you, Three have got such terrible reviews in general, and customer feedback on them isn't very good, is it?
Oh, I don't know. Three on my iPad's been working great.
Okay.
I'll wave that little flag. Well, I think, but it's like all these. It all depends on your locality, doesn't it? If you're in a good area.
Absolutely.
In a good area, it's going to be fine. Not in a good area, you're going to think it sucks.
Yes, indeed.
So this is early next year. They hope this service will go live. So as you're saying, your phone currently has it. I think a lot of Android devices are supporting it as well.
Pretty confident iPhone 5 will as well.
Come on. I don't think so.
In fact, no, they'll have a different type of chip in there.
Apple, I don't think, are ever, you know, right at the cutting edge.
Yeah, but they love the fact they've got all these user details with all this, you know, payment.
Yeah, but I think they're waiting, and they'll do something with an Apple Wallet at some point, no doubt.
So maybe in 2 years' time, we'll have the keynote where they're going, look at this beautiful thing where you hold it. Just look at that, paid, done.
Yep. It's magical.
Wow, magical.
Well, it'll be, I think it'll just be another part of that iCloud service.
Very, very possibly, yep.
Yeah, I know. Just because he just kept on banging on about the truth. He came out with that. We never mentioned this. He came out with a quote: "The truth is in the cloud." What have you been smoking? The truth is in the cloud. What does that mean?
He doesn't have to smoke. It's all these drugs he's on.
Oh, bless.
O2 aren't going to sell the playbook, the BlackBerry playbook. Basically, they've said that the end-to-end customer experience isn't, you know, good enough, so they're not going to bother selling it. Any comments?
I just want to laugh.
It actually sounds a bit like someone like Apple have come along and said, do you want to still sell the iPhone?
No, don't be daft.
No? It seems strange that they wouldn't even bother trying to sell a device.
Because I do think, I mean, if you look at the reviews, they have been not the best. I mean, all the previews from CES were really good, but once it's actually got in people's hands, it's just had a number of major issues.
Yeah, even CES reviews are a bit sceptical, and especially of the way that it would only work with a BlackBerry handset or something.
They were sceptical of all of that, but I think they really liked the... When you see me look at the performance of it, when you see it multitasking, it looks, you know, night and day better than everything else out there. But it's... All the stuff around there, you need a BlackBerry in your pocket to do email and calendar. Get a grip.
So anyway, they're not going to sell it. So we'll...
And RIM looks in a lot of trouble. I never put it in here, but I mean, they're cutting expectations, or their profits are down.
It's hard to say that though, because they're still huge.
They are still huge, but it's almost like they're like Microsoft. They're massive, but they're on that downward curve.
Yeah. And the predictions this week, it's quite hard to turn that ship around.
Yeah. The predictions this week where it'll be somebody like Microsoft that buys them. You know, that it's going to be somebody massive for that. That they'll just get consumed.
Hmm.
Consumed.
HP Touchpad. So this is HP using WebOS, or WebOS, whatever you want to say, for their device, and they have released some pricing. It's the touchpad. So it's a tablet, pretty much take an iPad 2, same kind of specs, and put WebOS on it, and that's kind of what you end up with. But they've gone, and the pricing model is pretty much the iPad 2 as well.
Exactly the same. So basically, it's coming down to it'll be look and feel of the hardware and how the OS performs. And WebOS, I've always thought.
It's not even going to come down to that. It's going to come down to can they get any apps on it?
Oh, that's true. That is true. Good point, well made.
I think that's the killer right now. I don't think there's anything else that really, you know, there's hardware out there that does better than the iPad 2, probably. There's just nothing that does the whole package.
No.
Sky Go. They are...
Go.
Where are they going? No, they're releasing a new service to replace mobile TV and their Sky Player services that they currently run. So effectively, how you get to watch Sky on devices away from your TV. And they're going to put those two together into something called Sky Go. And it's going to be free to all Sky customers.
Go. From July 4th, you can register two devices. And including those two devices would be another, you know, like a PC or a laptop or an iOS device. Actually looks pretty good. There's quite a lot of channels included in Sky Go.
Is it still the same sort of deal as before? So if your package includes, you know, entertainment, you get the entertainment channels, and if it includes...
The way I understand it is, it's if you're a Sky customer, so you don't actually have to have these packages.
But surely that's not going to work for something like Sky Sports.
Seemingly it is.
If that's pretty amazing if it does.
Yeah,
I don't think they're going to give that away.
That's what I've read, and maybe that'll change. Maybe I should actually go and read the press release properly again.
They're boring things.
I know, but I'm just having a look down.
Okay. Well, if it does include things like sports, and if you don't have that package, then that's an amazing thing for them to do. We'll see.
No. Sky Go gives Sky Sports 1 and 2 customers access to all 5 Sky Sports channels. So you still need to subscribe to Sky 1 and 2 to get all 5.
And I'd be the same with movies, I guess. In fact, movies might not even be included.
Movies wasn't included.
Okay. So anyway, but also they are going to open up that service supposedly outside of Sky. If you haven't got a Sky subscription, you will be able to pay just for the Sky Go service, ranging £15 to £40.
Which seems a lot of money.
it seems like, why don't you just go and get a Sky set up? So, yeah. And that's probably what they're aiming for, basically.
Yep. And I should also put out on iOS devices, it's not all these. I think they said there was like, you know, like 30 or 40 channels. I think there's only 6 channels initially.
Right.
And
is this, yeah, well, yeah, okay.
Well, it's that's initial, and they said they'll open it up over time. And also, I think if it's Sky Player used to be part of, what was the Microsoft thing? Is it Media Center?
Oh, yeah, right.
Windows
yeah.
Media Center, but that's now being closed.
Okay.
So there was a few people that were complaining about that. All three people that had Windows Media Center were complaining.
I've still got a Media Center PC, but it's dying a death, unfortunately.
Bless.
Yes.
I'd mentioned before the Sky News app on iPad. I think it's really nice, apart from the news is a bit dodgy sometimes, but as an app, it's fantastic.
apart from the news it serves up, yeah.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Love it.
Well, there's just that.
Who says it's content before style?
every time I launch it, I feel there's a little cartoon Murdoch in the top corner just kind of popping up and going, yeah.
He's probably tracking you, yeah, looking at what you're doing.
Probably. Well, it was an interesting change, and certainly it's a paid service is now going a bit more freer if you're a Sky user anyway.
Yep. Woe betide anyone who gives Duke Nukem, the new game, poor reviews.
But have you seen the reviews?
Basically, I haven't seen a good word said about this game.
Man, dear me.
So Duke Nukem has been, it was an old game, wasn't it, that's been in, someone's been saying that there's a new game in development for like, I don't know, something like 10 years or something stupid.
Yes.
And they've finally come out and released a new version of Duke Nukem. Duke Nukem was one of those cult classics, I think. Loads of people liked it.
Oh, have you never played it? No.
No, never played it.
I mean, it was, you had your, at the time you had, there was Doom and then there was Quake and Duke Nukem came out, all around that kind of same time, and Duke Nukem had a lot of humour in it. Now, some of it, I guess, was probably quite juvenile, but at the time, I think a lot of people who were playing those type of games
were around that. So the Serious Sam type
angle. Yeah, but I mean, it was, I mean, I was probably playing it when I was 19, 20, you know, I was at uni, maybe 21, 22, I probably just try to think back when it came out. I'm going to start aging it, probably was when I was 27. But you know, I think it was certainly a bit younger. I think at the time also there was things that were accepted. You know, you could go up to the dinos and, you know, do things with them, and it was like ha 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 ha. You know, like, almost like, you know, toilet humor, very good. But the that kind of thing wasn't, I guess, not as PR correct. Duke Nukem, the game has been talked about for years, and all sorts of problems with it, and you know the. I'm trying to remember who had it before, and they restarted and went to a different graphical engine, so they basically had to start again, and then it kind of went bust, and then you know, this company picked it up and says we'll have it out in a year, which at the time I just thought, how can you take something that's been developed for so long and turn it around? And I guess they couldn't
because, as you've put here, the Metacritic score was 49, and
it still
anytime
is.
You get a score down at 49, that is diabolical for a game that's
so just under on the 360, 49 out of 100 based on 60 critical reviews. So it's not like it's the best score is one at 78 from a website called Digital Chumps. You know, so
but they'll be receiving another copy of the developer's next game.
Yes.
Because I don't really know the story, but the PR firm tweeted out that anyone who's given us a bad review, well, we're not considering you for our next releases and stuff.
So there was two tweets. Too many went too far with the reviews. We're reviewing who gets games next time and who doesn't based on today's Venom. And then next was bad scores are fine. Venom filled reviews, that's completely different. And this was on the Redner group, and it was on their official Twitter feed. And they were removed very quickly, but as you know, you can't put something out.
Yeah, it's snapped.
Yeah. So it was Take-Two Interactive very quickly then said they're no longer representing us and these weren't views that we had. But at the same time, they released games released the game to reviewers on the same day it went in release, which to me is always a tell straight away.
There's very few games that don't get reviewed ahead of time that are actually good. I mean, there are exceptions to that, but they're normally huge exceptions rather than things like this.
Yeah, and most of the time now, people are wanting to get their games out with reviewers. You've got them for a week or two, and you get up a really good detailed review that sells the game. And it's all Absolutely, about good yeah. PR. If you've got a good game, you want to get it out there. And the thing is, we've probably kind of always known this. You know, there's always been, every so often you'll get somebody online, a blog or whatever, or on another podcast saying, you know, this goes on and we are under pressure, and game sites especially are under pressure to get exclusives and be in there first. I think one of the Call of Duties, I think it was IGN had an exclusive 1 year to get it in a day ahead of everybody else.
Well, I wonder it drives so much traffic to your site, it's definitely yep. worthwhile doing them.
But, you can look at, I mean, in Call of Duty now, it's like how much are Microsoft paying just to get maps a week early, because they make such a big deal out of it.
Yeah.
So, you know, if a website can get a day's drop on everybody else, but how does that influence the review? And yeah, they'll say that they'll say they're independent, but would they slate it?
It's a very difficult
position to be in, especially if you're just say it's a smaller site and you think you can get an exclusive. What do you do?
Indeed.
Stick to the right path.
Right, we're on to our theme element now. So if you'll notice a theme here. Basically, none of your details are safe anyway. Dropbox, the king of cloud storage, I guess, really. They got in there first or near first and certainly have swept up a lot of the market. But they put in an update to their platform, which actually left a security hole, which meant that people could log into other people's Dropbox without passwords. Well, that's what it sounded like. And it was up for probably about 4 hours, I think it was, before they noticed and then clamped it down. And they have let people know that is the case, and they're sort of still investigating, as far as I can tell.
They've investigated and they have emailed anybody that they think may have been affected, but they were also during that period killing any connections. So they did actually know about it, but it took them a while to actually stop it from happening. People have complained that they didn't actually make it known, but if they'd made it known, I think there would have been a lot more issues of people jumping in there and trying to, you know, get people's details.
Yes, it's the balancing act of, if something's wide open, then you want to keep it quiet until you've clamped it down at least. Yes. And then you come out with full disclosure. And I guess, you know, that's, you know, it's not, don't do the Sony thing.
No, and so they've obviously made a mistake. They are very apologetic about it. People are saying it's like totally unacceptable, and it is. I know it really is, but
it's going to happen more and more and more.
Well, the news the last sort of 10-12 weeks has just been dominated by hacks.
Yeah, well, say we haven't finished here, have we?
No, but I guess the issue with this one, it's not a hack, you know. And there's
a hole in their software.
Yeah, yes, and I guess there's a couple of things to point out that there's two services. One's called Wuala, I think it's pronounced. So it's Wuala. Another one's Spider Oak. And both those actually encrypt the data on your device and not in a central server. So, you know, it's a way of, you know, holding your data in the cloud, but it is more secure. And there's obviously things you can do yourself. I mean, you could put your data in encrypted zips, or you could have a TrueCrypt drive within your Dropbox folder to encrypt it. But average user's not going to do that.
No, and also, that, I mean, obviously these services live or die by how secure you feel with them. And this obviously does a lot to hurt them.
Yes.
But I'm still using it.
As am I.
WordPress.org, another behemoth, they found a backdoor in one of the plugins that they had installed on their platform. And they basically shut everything down and reset users' passwords to try and stop that backdoor being used.
Yep. So it was on three plugins. Add this, WP Touch and W3 Total Cache. So not the plugin authors had logged in, made these changes, and I think it was about a day, so 24 hours, that anybody updating their WordPress site, if they had kept their plugins up to date, would have downloaded these plugins and added these backdoors to their own site.
Yeah, so it's
quite nasty.
So they don't know how they got in there in the first place, but you know, it's clever stuff.
Yep, so they've reset your WordPress.org password. So if you're wanting to comment on forums or track for bugs or wanting to do a commit to a plugin or theme, you need to reset your password. And I guess their investigations are ongoing. But it's worrying because certainly the way the plugin service started working with WordPress, I found very useful. Because up until that point, see if you had, you know, 10, 15 plugins, it's a nightmare keeping on top of where they're up to date. And yes, the actual, you know, the update service just made it it made it easy. Made it easy.
With drawbacks, clearly. Right.
Yeah.
How do you pronounce this? Lulzek? Lulzek.
Yeah, we'll go for that. Lulzek.
Any ideas?
I'm leaving it totally up to you. I am hardly the pronunciation king amongst us.
I'm just worried that I'm missing some really, really obvious noob thing.
You mean like Scribe D?
Yes. Now then, so this is a new, should we call them organization? Something like that. Along with another organization called Anonymous. And they have declared full and open war against all governments, banks, and big corporations of the world. basically they want to get hackers hacking these people and getting all the information out there in the world and releasing it all.
So Lulzsec and Anonymous have been behind, I guess, quite a lot of the big hacks over the last 3-4 months. So it's believed they're involved with Sony, and it's believed they were hacking into one of the UK police sites, and there's a whole host of different sites that they've been hacking and posting up user details. And this is where I have the issue. See if they were hacking and putting up, you know, so it was like WikiLeaks, you know, so we found some horrible government, you know, here's evidence of UK government, you know, that have been involved in, I don't know, some sort of
something that they've denied, basically.
Yeah, you know, so I don't know, they've been, you know, torturing people or doing something that we say we don't do or whatever. Then that's the kind of thing. It's like, well, that is real change. That is, you know, adding transparency, and no doubt there'll be people saying, no, it's whatever it is, hacking's wrong. But to me, there's almost an acceptable level where if it's exposing something like a cover up, then crack on. But when you're putting out, you know, thousands and thousands of users' details, and people are getting robbed from it, then that's not open war against governments and fat cats.
No, I mean, I've made these points a lot of time before, you know, just general, you know, if you're going to hack something and say it's for a particular reason, then why put it all out there on the, you know, the general internet for everyone to get access to? It's, you know, it's not right, basically.
And even if they put out that, here's who we've hacked Sony, and just so you know, we've hacked Sony, here's a lookup and you can go and see if you were hacked, but we're not releasing the details, but it just shows you how stupid they are with holding your data, then that is a kick to a fat cat or a kick to, you know, these companies to step up and hold my data securely. But to just put a whole file online with everybody's full details.
Yeah, it's wrong. I mean, and you know, quite a lot of the time there's criminal intent behind a lot of these things anyway. But unfortunately, that, you know, it does sort of undermine some of the good actions that people do when they, you know, they tell companies that, hey, you've got these weaknesses. I guess it's going to be up to companies to do more and more of the, you know, if you get a proven weakness, and we'll pay you X amount of money to let us know about it. Maybe we'll see more of that.
Yeah. So it was a 19-year-old kid. I just had to say kid. My 19-year-old has been arrested in the UK, charged with 5 offences of computer. I've written knacking. That should have been hacking.
What's computer knacking? Crikey.
I don't know, but it should be something.
Maybe so we should have that as our domain name.
Computer knacking. So he's been charged, and it's believed he was one of the kind of main players in the Lulzsec group.
As with all these things, it's not going to be. It's going to be the Osama bin Laden, isn't it? It's not about who they find. It's the principle behind it. So there's always going to be another 19-year-old spotty geek to take over.
And I think, I mean, to me, that I've written down, they've tried to turn themselves into a little Robin Hood. We're doing this for the good of people.
Yeah,
It's not. I mean, Codemasters have been hacked.
Yes.
and I don't know if you got an email. I got an email from.
I got an email. Yeah.
Yep. So well done, Codemasters.
As painful as these emails that we keep getting are, they're kind of washing over me a bit now. I'm thinking, well, my information's gone. And I know I shouldn't be that blasé, and I'm not sure what I can do about it, really. But, you know, I was just kind of thinking, well, okay, whatever.
And I'm the same. It's like, Yeah, okay, thanks.
Because it's gaming related and I am, you know, in the gaming arena, everything, you know, the Sony account, Codemasters account, Sega, we're just going to, you know, they've also announced that they've been hacked.
Yep.
So, you know, I'm pretty sure in four angles that my data's out there now.
Oh, no, absolutely. I mean, the interesting one about Sega is that Lulz hacked on and said, we want to help you destroy the hackers that attacked you. We love the Dreamcast. These people are going down. And it's like you've got... Well, nobody's got any idea if it's them or not. And it would, to me, it could be the same group. They're hacking away, but they'll turn on and say it wasn't us. And people will be like, yay, they love Sega. Yay, well done, Lulz hack.
Yes, but it's... yeah, it's just... Again...
I guess the biggest one that's been hacked in the last couple of weeks, Travelodge has been hacked.
Oh, no. Okay. So, five angles then.
So, similarly, customers have been spammed today. And the reason why people know it's Travelodge is that as you know, you can set up a lot of people are using individual emails when they register at different sites. So, you can then say, well, I know that person or that group or that company has given away my details. And so a few people had written into, I think it was a register, saying, hey, Travelodge has been hacked because we're getting spammed. And the company's investigating.
It's probably the company spamming.
Yeah, exactly. They've probably sold it. How can we make money this year? I know, we'll sell our customer database.
No one will notice. No one will notice. Yeah.
But it's just, I'm just getting tired of the whole thing.
So anyway, that's probably the end of our hacking theme. But as you can see, it's happening more and more and more, and it's for all the kind of companies thinking that all this data was nice and safe, clearly it's far from safe.
Yep. And you know what the best bit is? The last four or five stories, it's a crescendo of good news.
Yay. That's Yay. What I like to hear. So let's get onto that, shall we?
Yay.
So Microsoft have launched a Kinect SDK, which is Yay. We never thought they would, but Woo-hoo. people already started sort of breaking into it and hacking it anyway. But now you can download the official SDK and play with your Kinect and do whatever you like, really.
So, well done, Microsoft, because right day one, they were trying to shut these people down. And we're like, oh, no, we don't want people hacking into this, and we don't want... And then 3 or 4 days later, they kind of reversed it totally and said, actually, yeah. This is pretty damn cool.
Yeah, this is cool, and you're coming up with ideas that we would never have thought of.
Yep.
But now they've released proper SDK as well.
Yeah, and I mean, I saw a YouTube video the other day. A guy's got he was able to spell out the alphabet based on where his hands are, and it wasn't doing shapes. It was how high or low his hands were for spelling out words. It was absolute class. Yeah. And it was just the fact that he was kind of debugging it live and doing it.
And this is where the innovation is going to come from. I know. I mean, gaming people are innovative as their own. You know, when they're building these games, I'm sure. But they're kind of limited in the scope of what they're trying to do with the Kinect. So I think we're going to see some real innovation now. Hopefully. Yes.
No, absolutely. I think it's just the fact that you've paid your 70, 80 quid for it. You can now actually, you know, if you want to, you can hack around. I mean, and the three features were raw sensor stream, skeletal tracking, and advanced audio capabilities. So you can go Kinect. Kinect.
Okay. PopCap. Now, PopCap of... what do they do? Plants vs. Zombies is probably their biggest.
Bejeweled.
And what was the one where you fired?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'll find that out while you...
I can't remember. Anyway, so they've been releasing some pretty darn good and high-grossing games, and they are in the middle of being acquired. I don't think we know who's buying them, but there's figures being banded around of... over $1 billion.
$1 billion.
That is incredible.
The first time I saw PopCap, I just thought they were like, they're just doing little crappy flash games.
But they've got a style and a method all to their own, haven't they? That just works. It's they create nice little atmospheres and environments.
Yes.
Pogo? Peggle. Peggle.
Peggle.
That's the one. Not Pogo.
Oh, yeah. There's Peggle and Peggle Knights.
There you go.
And Zuma. And Bejeweled. And Bookworm. So it's actually quite a few that are Not just little flash games.
And you can see why they're rated, you know, valued quite highly, is the fact that they've not just, it's not one hit wonder. They've actually...
So well done, PopCap, and well done, EA, my favourite games company. I did say everything's positive, so I need to be positive.
Yes, they're our favourite. It's EA, EA that's buying them. That's not hard, easy to say.
Yeah, all the rumours are saying it is going to be them. Okay. Phenomenal amount of money, but phenomenal. Yeah, they, you know,
they're clearly earning some cash somewhere, EA. iOS apps, you're going to do a quick roundup for
them. Oh, yeah. These should really be picks, but there was a lot of them. I think it's because I've been away for a couple of weeks. Bungie Mobile. So it's a free app from Bungie. You track your Halo stats. Exactly. You know, Bernie Lick's been in heaven.
Yeah, I bet he has.
He's just been like, oh, look at this. Well, we've actually been playing, we've been doing some new stuff in Halo. We've been doing arena mode. We need to get you on.
Ooh.
Yeah, new maps, different maps.
Ooh.
New rankings.
Ooh.
Exactly. So a nice little free app.
So I can fail at more rankings.
Yep. And but the nice thing about it, well, it depends how nice. Me and Brian now have blue flames coming out of our heads.
Oh no.
Because you can link your Bungie idea with it and say I love Bungie and you get blue flaming head. Yeah. So we're the two cocks running around with blue flames coming out of our heads now. But interestingly, the interesting angle, it's nice and free. But I think they wanted to do it quite a while ago. But because they were tied with Microsoft, they couldn't release it. Okay. And now they're not, and they have. Well okay. done. Discover. So this is two different apps, both 59 pence each. One's called Discover Apps, one's called Discover Music. Gives you a front end, you pick your app or music, and then it gives you a kind of interactive, kind of almost like planets around a central planet, and then you can touch and extend out. So it gives you related, you know, if you pick like Camera Plus, it'll give you 8 or 9 different camera apps or related apps to camera, to photography, okay. Sorry. And then you can click on it and get more information, and you can go to buy it in the store, and it's actually quite a nice discovery engine.
Do you know whether that's kind of an editor-fed thing or whether it's... you know, algorithm fed.
I think it's algorithm. So I think they have got a kind of... So the music one's been out for quite a while. I think it's been out for sort of 3-4 months. And the apps one came out last week.
Intriguing.
It's very nicely done. The third one is a game called Order and Chaos, which kind of... I didn't really spot when it came out. It's been out for 3-4 months. But it's basically... you know Gameloft. Gameloft basically rip off every game and put out their own... kind of good version with similar graphics, but it's just not got maybe the same kind of heart and soul to it. So Order and Chaos is their take on Warcraft.
And okay, well, World of Warcraft, yeah.
Yeah, World of Warcraft. And it is a true MMO. Wow. You buy the game and then you pay monthly subscriptions. And sure enough, and it's a universal. So on the iPad, you log in, you pick your world, and there's everybody running around, and you've got a whole quest to do, and you can build up your character.
That is potentially huge if they've got that right.
Do you know it works all right? It's not not the same as Warcraft. You know, it's not got that hook. It's not got the kind of depth to the kind of story in the game. But see when you see that running, it's pretty damn. So the reason I've added it in, they've got it on sale at the moment for 59p, and that includes 3 months' usage. Previously, it was five. I think it was $4.99, and then you had to pay each month.
Wow, a lot of MMO players don't really care about you know the story or whatever. They're just after the mechanic and the persistence of it all. So, if they've got that anywhere near right, they're the first ones out there. That's pretty amazing.
Now, I did have it crash on me a couple of times, but at the same time, I'm running iOS 5.
Yes.
So
expected to a certain degree.
Yeah. There's lots of things that are failing. Hmm.
Keep an eye on that. They could be big money earners off that.
Yes. And the last one is, and you might have heard of this, XFM. It's a Chrome plugin as well. So it's a discovery, kind of music discovery engine. As you browse around the web, if you've got it enabled in Chrome, it captures different music tracks that it finds in different sites. And you can link it to Twitter and Facebook and Last.fm. So it kind of ties in with, you know, what other people are listening to and suggest tracks. And as an iOS app came out today, they also introduced a new feature called Industry Leaders. So what people in the industry are starting to play, what music blogs are starting to play and recommend. So it's actually a good way of keeping on top of new music, and it's free. So very nicely done. And they are very soon to release an Android app as well.
Keep an eye out for that then.
Yes. So some good apps to get downloading.
Now, this next story, Lytro. Now, you're very excited about this.
I am.
And I think you better explain it, because I've not come across this.
Right, so this news came out yesterday. I need to
You can hear the excitement in your voice.
I do. Now, there's a reason I need to say this. I'm super excited about this. And the reason I have to say I'm super excited is my boss phoned me up about this last night and says, I think I've got a story for your podcast.
Hey.
And now, this is a long story. It's not really a long story. And I said to him, I'll need to say it's from you, and I'm super excited. And he starts chuckling, because the first podcast that me and Shaq did, I said, I'm super excited to be here.
You did. I've still got it on.
And my boss, Jace, every time he wants to have a little dig at me, go on, Ian, I'm super excited. And I know what he means. And yeah. He knows that I know what he means. Everybody else in the room is just looking at him thinking, what a pair of knobs. What's all this super excited nonsense? So anyway, with that little aside, so Lytro.com are wanting to introduce a light field camera. I have never heard of before.
Nope.
So I think the best place that I saw a kind of demo and a discussion on this was All Things D. So again, it's too long a link. We'll put it in the show notes. But if you do a search for All Things D and Lytro, or if you go to Lytro.com, which is Lytro, and Chris, I think you should jump to the Lytro website just now, because I know you're running Windows, but I'm sure it won't break. What a dig.
Ouch.
So the whole point of this is that a light field camera means, and I'm just going to read out what it says, because I don't understand the technology, but it means it captures all the light moving in all the directions in the view of the camera. So you read that and you think, so what? But what it means is that the image you capture in post, so after we get back to the computer, after editing, you can change the focal point to anywhere on that image.
Sounds incredible. Yes.
So if you go to the Lytro website, they've got a few examples where, and they've obviously deliberately chosen examples, you know, so they've got maybe some grass in front, you know, an animal kind of mid, and then, you know, something in the background. And as you, you know, click on the area, it does change that focal plane.
And I see it. Yes, I'm playing with it now.
And I just look at it and think that is like a step change, you know, and they've equated it to going from film to digital. And if I look at digital cameras, there's always been kind of incremental updates. So there's more megapixels, or they'll introduce, you know, HD movies, or they'll introduce, instead of, you know, 3 images per second, the high-end ones can do 10 images per second, or there'll be another mode that's added in, or it'll be, you know, there'll be some better. And I mean, lenses not really changed too much. They've added in, you know, stability and all that kind of good stuff. And the higher the price, the heavier the glass, the clearer, the sharper, the less aperture, all that good stuff. This to me is like another real step change.
So
and that's why I'm super excited.
It must be some sort of, you know, spherical, you know, where you have a normal focal length. It must be some sort of globe almost that it takes the sensor off. I mean, I'm totally probably talking out of position, but this is incredible. So, and it just means that the one photo can be composed in infinitely different ways. You know, all those times where you have to work out what kind of focal length and aperture you want to work on to get, you know, Booker effects or whatever. This is takes all that away. I think you're right. It looks like a big thing. I wonder how much a camera costs.
So the nice thing about the All Things D website is they actually have an interview with the guy kind of behind it. So it talks about how it was kind of, it started 6-7 years ago. It's been a kind of stealthy startup is what they've called themselves, because they've got a lot of investment. And this is now them, you know, actually launching to the press. And what they've said about cameras is that they will have a device out by year end. They do want the technology to be everywhere, you know, so everything from camera phones to point and shoots to DSLRs. But they're not ready to commit right now as to what they want to release by year end. So I'm kind of expecting I guess fairly expensive, maybe quite a big thing, clunky. I don't know. I don't think it'll be something that everybody will be running out and buying straight away. But it's one of the few things that I've seen recently. I've just gone, Wait a minute, that is so impressive.
Yes, I am suitably impressed now that I know what's going on. Yeah.
And the nice thing about the video on the All Things D website, there's also a kind of, there's almost a kind of 3D-ness and depth to it. He just kind of moved his mouse around the image, and it just kind of, it seemed to shift the pixels all around by about 10, 15 pixels close up, and maybe only by, you know, 8 or 9 middle, and then it was fixed in the distance, and it gave you a depth, almost a 3D-ness.
And like again, I say, I think it must be, surely it's a spherical kind of image capturing chip. That's what it sounds like, but we will see. No doubt it's been patented.
Oh, absolutely. So I would head over to lytro.com, L-Y-T-R-O, yeah, and have a look, because it's great.
Good stuff. Okay, just have a quick look at what's going to be upcoming in the next week or so.
Month or two.
Okay, longer than month or so. Facebook are releasing what are they calling it Project Spartan?
Similarly, internally, it is called Project Spartan. And TechCrunch broke this, so I think somebody leaked it, and the PR team aren't very happy at all.
Right. So, and basically, it's going to be a fully realized HTML5 version of Facebook, basically.
More than that. It's actually, there's going to be a full app store as well, with lots of developers releasing their apps within an HTML5 built for iOS device. Kind of app store. So a kind of whole way of bypassing Apple's app store.
Because it happens inside the browser?
Yes.
Wow. I wonder how long Apple let that get away with it.
Well, the interesting update was there was rumors that Apple are actually helping them. Okay. And I was like, I can't believe that.
They might be.
But you never know.
If there's percentage in it, you never know.
You never know.
Okay, so that's something to keep an eye out for. Then.
That was something that they reckon are going to start actually officially launching maybe in 2 to 3 months' time when the applications are ready and all the infrastructure's there.
Mm. But they're also going to release, well, there's rumours, I don't know if they are definitely doing it, the iPad app, because they have only they've only ever released an iPhone app. So obviously it doesn't work quite as nicely on the iPad.
No, and there's some third-party developers have released Facebook apps on the iPad. If you look at the paid apps, they're always usually around the sort of top 10 or 20 because there's just so many Facebook users. And I think Zuckerberg at the time says, well, you know, we're into mobile and iPad's not mobile. That was his kind of zinger statement about the iPad. But I don't think at the time anybody expected it to sell as much as it did.
Yes, so things have changed.
Yeah. Yes. So they're bringing an iPad app out. And there was another iPhone app that was just it was all seemed to be around image photo sharing. And it looked really, really, really nice. So I think Facebook have got 3 or 4 things coming out, you know, over the next, I guess, the next 2 quarters that should be really nice to see on the iOS devices.
Excellent stuff. Right. I know we're a bit long again, but we will quickly cover our picks.
Stop boasting.
Oh, if only.
What a confession that is.
Yeah, picks. Slide It. Is my pick. It's an Android. In fact, I say my pick. I've scrubbed it off of Paul, who's also got an Android device. Slide It is a keyboard replacer for the standard keyboard, and it's of the swipe style. So you literally drag your finger from letter to letter to actually magically get your words to appear. Very clever stuff, and works as you might expect. You don't even have to be very accurate, to be honest. And it just sort of knows what you want to say. I'm still playing around with it. I know Paul's a convert and has bought the full app, but I'm in trial mode at the moment, which I think lasts for something like 15 days. And if at the end of it you would like to continue to use, I think it costs $3.99. Interesting one to play around with. Have a go if you've got an Android.
That sounds very nice indeed.
And what's yours, Ian?
Mine's is... And I think I've mentioned, I meant to check if I'd done this before. I might have fell into a trap.
you might have done this before.
Yeah. So this is Reader for Mac.
How good this pick is.
Well, I know I've done Reader for iPhone and iPad. And there's a beta for Mac. It's been out for quite a while. But finally, it's now in the App Store for the lower price of $5.99. So Reader is a Google Reader client. and but a very nicely styled one. It works very fast, looks great on the screen, very minimal front end. And I guess some reviews call it almost like for the power user, because a lot of the things are kind of, you need to have been a Google Reader user, I think, to really use Reader. Well, you would have, because that's the only thing it supports. He says, working it out. What a cock. But the nice thing with the new Mac, I've got a Magic Trackpad now, and it also supports gestures. And it just what a lovely app. I'm really, really pleased with it. And as I said, $5.99, I just think it's an absolute bargain.
I think you're right. You probably covered it on different platforms, but yeah.
I have on different platforms, but I'm sure I actually said it when it was out in beta as well. So okay. Apologies if I've done it before, but I've done it again.
If you were one of the one listeners who noticed or have heard that before, I apologize. And that is the end of our podcast for today. So thanks very much for listening, getting this far. Well done. If you would like to find out more, why wouldn't you? Go to www.digitaloutbox.com. If you want to talk to us, email us at info@digitaloutbox.com. And we are on Twitter and Skype as Digital Outbox. You can find out more about me, if you would like to, at CheesyUK on Twitter. Ian, where can we find out about you?
My blog is indie.net, and I'm on Twitter as Shweepa.
Excellent stuff. So thanks again, and we will talk to you next week. Bye.
Goodbye.
No sign of life from my Fitbit.
Oh no.
I'm going to leave it on charge. I know I probably should have let it dry out more, but actually it's been in the airing cupboard all day, so it's fine. That's where I found it, in my jean pocket. And I will report back even if it just transmits rather than showing me what I'm doing.
Well, for ending our law.
I know, it's kind of sad. I feel I haven't taken enough care of it. It's went to a bad home, and there was no one told me how to parent it.
Well, I now have the fear, because I think all the recordings have worked fine. I've now got the horrible task of actually putting the podcast together tomorrow and getting everything sorted.
Yes, on this new machine.
Oh, I'm dreading it.
Surely it's just going to happen all automatically, magically.
No. See, if you see Magic one more time, I will get my car.
I have been using it a little bit much though.
I will get my car, drive down, and attack you with my old iMac.
With comedy sound effects coming out of it, no doubt. Bong.
Kapow. But no, it's just all the stuff. But that's a shame about your fit. But it's a tragedy. It's an absolute tragedy.
It could be a tragedy. My last little ray of hope would be that it still transmits and sends the data, but my screen looks like it's dead as a doorknob.
Well, if you actually checked Fitbit and
I don't know how I can at the moment.
You just go to their website.
But how often does it update?
Well, mine's updates all the time.
You haven't washed yours though.
That's right, it's covered in filth.
Must if be you, pocket filth.
If you look. let's not go there.
How can I find daily steps taken?
No, if you just go into your dashboard, it'll just say sync today or synced whenever.
On my homepage.
Yeah. So I just go to my dashboard and see where you've got your name and your stats at the top. It says synced, and then it'll say when.
It says 8:53 p.m.
There you go, battery, it still works.
Battery level low.
Oh. Well, get it charging then.
It's on charge, but there's no screen. That looks like that's gone.
But it still syncs.
Might do.
Oh, see? We've ended in a good note.
Hey. She lives.
It's alive.